Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
Live from the 35th annual NHRA Spring Nationals at Houston Raceway Park, welcome to the In Wheel Time car talk show here on iHeartRadio. Coming up, we'll have a very special guest joining us once again from the Top Fuel ranks, joining us in the studio here remotely. Plus, we'll have the events calendar and the stories making automotive news headlines this week. Howdy, along with Mike out of This World Bars, King Conrad DeLong, We Need More, Jeff Zika.
We do.
I'm Don Armstrong, so glad that you could join us today. And we have with us right now the pilot of
Mack Tools Top Fuel Dragster. And from Coletta Motorsports, and that would be Doug Coletta.
I like that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a great pleasure.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see you. I have always had great respect for you and your driving ability. And I want to know about your piloting ability, too. Did you fly down here?
Yeah, we came. We usually go into Ellington. Yeah. We've got this nine-passenger Falcon 20.
So nice.
We use that for... You know, anything further along than you'd want to take, like a turboprop. We've got this King Air that we use for the shorter flights. And very fortunate that Connie's always, you know, we've always flown to the races. When I first started working for him, he actually was like flying this 310. I mean, that would have been years, you know, yeah. Obviously with him if that's what we started with. But it's been a great opportunity learning, to fly with Connie as co-pilot and just kind of progressing with my career with all of that.
Wow. And all the different planes you're flying, because from what I understood last time we had you, you fly a pretty full range of stuff that's part of the Coletta Air Services.
Yeah, we've got I think about 90, a little over 90 aircraft.
Wow.
Ranging from Learjets all the way up to Boeing 777s.
Wow.
So we're running a bunch of stuff. Obviously, DHL is a great customer of ours. Yeah. We fly their 777s or 747s and 737s in their network system that they have in Cincinnati and all around the world. So
that's your real job, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's it's been a heck of a run. Obviously, I started working for Connie back out of high school, and just it's been full on airplanes and racing and. It's been a lot of good.
Sounds like fun.
It's been great.
But flying to the events in your own airplane, that sure does make it a whole lot easier.
Yeah,
that's
for
it?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you, I think about trying to do the airline stuff and racing and without having that convenience would be tough.
Yeah.
Do you find other drivers maybe knocking on your door, hey, can I get a ride?
Yeah, and usually we're full, right? So, I'm always open. If anybody needs a ride, it's all good. As long as they don't want me to drop them off somewhere. If you're going where I'm going, that's good.
Exactly.
That helps.
So, you've had a quite a career and a very successful one at that. And we've always been amazed at your success. And the professionalism that you bring to the sport is top-notch all the way. You always have been. Always a great interview and know the sport inside and out. And I think that is a true asset. And hopefully you take that as a compliment. Now you should, because that's how it's meant. And how do you feel about coming to Houston? What does Houston mean to you? I mean, this is the last event.
Yeah. Well, for starters, I live in Michigan. So anything
Detroit.
This time of year is like going somewhere warm, right?
Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere warm.
Well, you guys
right?
have had some recent snow.
Yeah, she's
a day after Easter.
Yeah.
Easter Monday.
Yeah, it's been. But no, this, I really like Houston. Had great luck here over the years, and fans are great. It's one of those bittersweet kind of deals. If this really is the last race,
we're hoping it's not, but I think it is.
We were just getting like this furniture store. I mean, every spring or fall or whatever, they're always going out of business, right? So it's like I'm kind of hoping the same thing with this place.
The band's final tour.
Yeah, the band's final tour. So, but no, it's been a great facility to come to, and I was just noticing over here, too, they got the Darrell Russell Top Eliminator Club wall there. And, wow, what a nice display there.
Yeah.
But just stuff like that, Daryl was a big part of this area and his family. And so there's just a lot of history here.
There is. A lot of
memories, you know.
You know, and the track has produced good conditions to create all of those records that have been set here through the years as well. So it's been a good track for start of the season, you know, early on in the season. So
My guys yesterday were talking about the track or whatever, and their comments were, you know, the starting line is usually really good here, you know. So that's coming from Alan Johnson, right? So it's one of those places that everything's got its own characteristics, but it's been fast here.
So bringing Alan into your team, because you know, he brings a lot of knowledge from a pretty wide range of other teams with him. How has that affected everybody else? Because I'm sure everybody's kind of in a learning curve with Alan coming in.
Yeah, we're settling in. I'm settling in. You know, having somebody, you know, Brian and Alan, and just the whole effort of, you know, it was, I wouldn't say overwhelming, but it was just an incredible opportunity, right? So you just kind of got to settle in. I think we're finally all settling in, and we're just keep picking away at our performance, and just I'm hoping we're a win waiting to happen. And
it'd
be great to do it here tomorrow.
You've been in the business long enough to know that, you know, crew chiefs have their own way of running a team, and every one is different. And what does Alan bring to it that you really haven't experienced before? I mean, what makes him different?
Yeah, obviously his you know, track record of all his accomplishments out here with championships and race wins, and
highly respected crew chief.
Yeah, you know, and with his business, he builds, you know, we're running his blocks and cylinder heads and all the things that he builds on these cars. So obviously he really understands these engines and everything about all of you know, what it takes to run one of these 12,000 horsepower motors. And but yeah, his knowledge is you know, just the way he approaches things. Obviously he's, you know, very passionate about winning, which we all obviously are, and I couldn't be more excited really this year. I know we haven't had the success that we're hoping for with, you know, we were low qualifier in Phoenix, and, you know, I lost on a couple real close races, which obviously as a driver, you're like, man, I wish I could have just had just a little better light and got it. But, you know, it's just all coming together, and I couldn't be more excited about this weekend.
Yeah. Now, did you have crew member changes when Alan came in as well?
Yeah, last year we were kind of moving things around. Chad Head, who runs our effort there along with Connie, obviously. We're just trying to make the right decisions, trying to figure out what you know, what works for our group there. And but yeah, bringing Brian and Alan on, and then on the car that Sean Langdon drives, we've got Kurt, and then we brought over Jason McCullough that was working with Billy Torrance last year.
Right.
Okay.
Torrance's.
So he's over there working with those guys, and, you know, and Jason worked with Alan and Brian for years. So it's kind of like getting the guys all back together.
Getting the band back
together.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we're working away on just all the stuff that we're doing.
Now, after every run, do you go and sit in there and look at all the data and go over that with Alan and the boys?
No, I don't. They've got whatever their strategy is for doing what they're doing. I'm obviously curious of what happened on the run or whatever, the drop the cylinder. I kind of peek in there to see what's going on, but I'm really not in there trying to I'd be in there for about 2 minutes.
Get out of here.
No, I'm like, whatever you guys are doing.
Yeah, they don't want to sit in the pilot seat. Yeah. You don't want to.
You guys need some water. You know, you need something to eat. That's what I do when I go.
Well, that's
in
why
there.
You bring them in, because they're the experts at
exactly.
what they do.
How did you do last night in the first round of qualifying?
Yeah, I didn't see what really, if we dropped a cylinder or whatever, but the thing, well, it seemed like it ran good at 374.
Okay.
It was like 10th,
But that's a pretty tight grouping, that top,
yeah.
I think the top 11 were,
yeah.
you know,
you just have
a couple
to hit it right.
Off,
I mean, you got a one-run deal, you go up there, you know, and it's obviously you're trying to get down
Friday
the track,
nights, yeah.
you don't want to lose that run, you know, so. I was totally good with that and just hoping to improve on today. Yeah, no, it's It'll be a great weekend. Place is filling up already here, and
this is going to be a huge weekend.
Yeah,
you probably saw yesterday the number of people that were here. I've never seen a crowd on a Friday like it was yesterday, and I would imagine that this weekend is going to be huge.
Yeah, and so I don't know the group that's out there listening, but there's probably still tickets here. So
there's always tickets available.
We might as well come on out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, so as far as you are concerned, your personal life, do you ever have time to relax? Every weekend, almost every weekend, you're out on the road racing.
Yeah.
Wife, kids, family. How do you handle all of that? It's got like a big juggler.
Yeah, no, it. I give a lot of credit to my wife with my kids and managing all the stuff, you know, at home.
Do you ever bring them on the road with you?
Yeah. Both my kids are in college, and they've actually both been year-round soccer players, and real proud of them. My daughter plays for the University of Michigan. She just was a freshman last year.
Go Blue!
Yeah, so they had a good year too, and my son's up at a Division II school with still playing, they have grown up out here, and obviously now in college. So trying to get my son to where he's trying to, just hate to tell kids what to do. Obviously, growing up around all the stuff that I do, they know all the opportunities are there. So it's just a matter of trying to figure out what they want to do without forcing them to do it.
Don't want to do that.
Is he interested or is she interested in coming into motorsports at all?
I haven't pushed it too hard. I mean, we've run – the junior dragsters and go-karts and just kind of play around with quarter midget stuff. And
that's fun.
But yeah, the main thing, obviously, is just chasing his passion, which had been soccer for his whole life year-round.
Time-consuming. So,
but he's finally gotten to where he's like, okay, this obviously I'm not going to be a professional soccer player. Took a while to figure that out, too. But
It's hard to let go of the dream sometimes.
Yeah, but no, I'm real proud of both those, both my kids.
Now, you're a circle track racer.
Yeah.
Tell me how that has played a role in what you do going down the quarter mile.
Yeah, it's more just car control stuff and seat time, and just being comfortable in the car and being, wanting, obviously, the more you're out there racing, just the desire to win, really. More seat time you get, you're just more comfortable driving whatever you're driving.
You were on dirt, right?
We ran both.
Both?
Back in the day with the USAC midgets and sprints is really what I – ran, it was like 50-50 dirt and pavement. And I always seem to kind of excel a little bit better on the pavement. Had some really good cars back in the day.
With a winged sprint car?
We ran some winged sprint car stuff.
Because, wings on a sprint car and that short wheelbase, they don't always turn out to be real good on asphalt.
Yeah.
You
put a wing on an asphalt car and that thing – Hall's ass, but back in the day, when I won this USAC Sprint Car Championship back in '94, I had this Rick Ferkel, who was my crew chief, and I don't know if you know much about Rick Ferkel or not, but he was like one of the original outlaw
sprint car guys. Name, yeah.
He was the name. 00. Yeah. So it was a really cool opportunity to work with him, and he was always like, "Where can we go? Put the wing on." He was from. Like Attica and, Fremont, all those tracks in Ohio, that was where he lived. And so we were always banging around. Whenever we weren't running the USAC midget and sprint stuff, we were trying to run a
wing. Do you miss
it? I had a great time. I have to admit, that was probably I had to do more work on those during the week and everything. And with the airline stuff, so it kind of was maybe a little
more
easier.
Time-consuming.
It was more and yeah, just a lot of stuff that's gone on with the business. This opportunity to drive for Connie out here on the drag strip.
Where in Michigan are you from? Because I'm from Dearborn.
Ann Arbor.
Oh, yeah. A Square. Yeah.
Or Saline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in Mount Clemens area.
Oh, yeah. Neighbors.
Yeah, right over there. I used to, Connie had his place there when he was, the early days of all of what he, has done with drag racing and whatnot. But he ended up moving from there over to this airport in Ypsilanti, where really all the automotive freight, was flying
moves in and out.
So then he was like, "Oh, we got to be over here." So, and he's been there ever since. But
cool,
it's wonderful. Good stuff.
How is Connie?
Good. Yeah, he's just turned 84. He We actually, through the COVID thing, we got in this trailer. We call it the Connie Hilton. So we got this nice sign. It's whatever.
Conrad Hilton.
Conrad Hilton, yeah. So anyways, he's out here. When he comes out, we got a nice comfortable
place
for
him. Is he out here this week?
He actually stayed home this weekend. He just got tied up with some stuff with work and said, you got
to be boys. But he's still kind of active.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's really – he's by the shop all the time, and, you know, he's a big part of all the –
Well, and I know Kalita Air, you guys also have a huge relationship with the U.S. military as well.
Yeah.
You guys are always moving stuff around and doing stuff for them, and thank you all for doing that as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the opportunity. There's obviously always stuff to move and stuff going on, and so it's
– Some of it in a hurry.
A lot of international stuff. That's what Kalita Air primarily does is all just international. So we're – Wherever the disasters and wherever the whatever
need.
Needs to be moved,
the needs yeah.
and whatnot, we're the ones
leading the way,
moving stuff.
And tip of the spear.
Try to be, yeah.
So what are you looking forward to today?
So, yeah, we, like I say, we ended up 10th. So if we could get kind of, you know, it'll be a little warmer on the first session. The second session should be better. So if we can kind of get close to the top five, I don't know what it's going to take. Obviously, my guys are probably thinking, you know, maybe we can, you know, run better than that. I don't know if we can or not, but for me, just somewhere closer to the front, and then
because that's a pretty tight group. You're gonna slip in there,
yeah. So about obviously, we'd love to be first, but if we could be in the top five, that would be great.
And track prep here, left lane, right lane, they all pretty consistent, or is there an advantage to one side or the other?
I think it's pretty close. Yeah, yeah. No, the safety safari they.
Do a really good job.
And this, like you say, this track's always really good. So it should be good. And got an opportunity with Mobile One this weekend. Big part of the Toyota brand that we represent as well. So through a partnership with them, with Toyota, we're doing a special wrap with the Mobile One.
Okay.
Yeah. So
well, that works in Houston too. Such a big mobile footprint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the product, the oil we use. We've been running Mobile One. We kind of work with them to develop and obviously continue to develop the oil that we use out here on the Nitro engine. It's a different, obviously, oil, and, you know, it's not going to just go down the store and buy it.
So they take it after a run and do some analysis of it?
Yeah, we're testing different oils, and they'll take the samples and then
figure out what they need to do to make adjustments to it.
But with the power that these things are running, I mean, to have the best oil, that
pretty critical
to beat up on those.
Now, you had mentioned earlier 12,000 horsepower. Is there actually a dyno that can measure what you guys are doing, or is this an estimate based on just knowledge of what the output of the engine can be?
Yeah, it would be an expensive dyno.
I was going to say,
you run that thing just a little too much. No, I think it was Robert Yates. He had a dyno that he actually let Connie test his engine in one time.
Oh, my God. How did that work out?
It did not work out well. Back in the day when Robert was around, he told the story, and he was like, it was funnier than heck, but... But no, they just kind of, just whatever
they know what it's doing.
In other words, they blew up the dyno. Is what happened.
Blow it. I mean, there was flames, right?
There's got to be a video of it somewhere.
Then they know that this does this, and this reacts to this, and this is your outcome.
Uh-huh.
And
it goes boom.
All those results. Uh-huh. Well, so far as not putting in a dyno. Yeah.
And then there's that dyno wheel that the tires go on. It was found about a mile and a half down the road. As it came out of the building.
Yeah,
it's still
NASCAR guys are like, I don't know about those NHRA guys at that point.
Yeah, they're
all
breaking my
they're
stuff.
They're all crazy.
Well, they break their own stuff, too.
I know.
Doug, it's great to see you.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
We appreciate you, man. And good luck today and good luck this weekend.
All right, thanks.
Doug Kalita.
Thank you very much. All right. If you'd like to shoot us an email, we'd love to hear from you. Our address is info@inwheeltime.com.
We've got a couple of seconds here, and I wanted to run across a couple of things here, but I have to dig it out from this stack of stuff.
While you're digging,
on Jeopardy.
Carlos Ghosn is facing an arrest warrant in France.
What?
So, wait a minute, they snuck him out of in a box out of Japan.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, what are they going to take him out of France?
In a violin box. In a wine bottle.
In one of those funky looking
French
cars.
Because he'd have to be in Italy to go out in a Gucci
bag. Don't they smash grapes with their feet, one of them bucks?
Yes, they do.
There you go.
General Motors issued a recall on Buick Enclave, Chevy Traverse, and GM Acadia due to airbag inflator explosion risk.
Oh.
So the airbag going off at an inopportune time.
Yeah.
Because if it goes off at any time besides having an accident, that's an inopportune time. Ford's recalling 650,000 trucks and SUVs their windshield wipers suddenly not working or falling off.
You know, and that would not be a good thing here. Falling off. Oh, wow, there's something.
How did the windshield wiper fall off? They forgot to put the nut on it to attach it.
Flings it off. I had a Corvair one time, as you all know, that I managed to paint the wiper arms. Okay? Mm-hmm. Took them off, paint the wiper arms. Then, it's got the little tab on the back that you shove in to make it so it doesn't fly off.
But you got
to
feel it clip in the tab lock.
Well, I didn't actually do that, and I'm driving down the road in the misty rain, and all of a sudden, it goes the whole wiper arm and blade. And I thought, I am not stopping this car to go look for it. So I had to buy a whole new set to get a piece to match.
And learn how to lock it in place.
Yeah.
Push down, do you feel that snap?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Ferrari is expanding its plug-in hybrid lineup with the 296 GTS. You know, Ferrari plug-in electric. I just can't get past that.
But that's part of their Formula One technology is the electric boost hybrid system.
Yeah, I know. Well, a Targa version of the mid-engine 296 GTB Coupe launched in 2021 as the first V6 model since the Dino in the late 60s. The rear drive two-seat 296 GTS is powered by an 819 horsepower V6 hybrid powertrain. Turbocharged V6, maximum output is 654, coupled with a 122 kilowatt electric motor that produces an additional 165 horsepower.
I don't know. There's something about Ferrari that doesn't say V6. It says V12 or V8.
I know.
You know, and yeah, maybe you can get 800 horsepower out of a hybrid V6, but it's still.
Well, for those in attendance here in the Top Eliminator Club, prices and delivery dates for the 296 GTS, just in case you wanted to go out and get one today. They've not been announced. The 296 GTB price is $290,200. So you can zip it on up from there.
Bring a check.
Bring a check and some extra cash, because that's what it's going to cost.
You put a tip jar on the table.
By the way, this is Toyota weekend for us here, because this broadcast is sponsored by Toyota Gazoo Racing North America. Well, Toyota Motor North America said Tuesday it will invest $383 million across four plants in the United States to prepare what appears to be a new four-cylinder engine variant for traditional and hybridized powertrains. I like that word. Toyota sold in the U.S. and equipped with four-cylinder engines now come in three displacements, 1.8, 2.0, and 2.5 liters, depending on vehicle requirements. The exception is the GR86 sports car, which uses a 2.4-liter boxer engine from Subaru. And let me expand on that just a little bit.
Okay.
You know, Toyota's got a display over here in the pit area, and they have the new GTR funny car body on display over there. It's actually on a real, actual funny car.
Yeah.
But boy, that body is slick. I read a story a couple of weeks ago about them putting that thing in the wind tunnel and getting it right for drag racing. You go over there and look at that thing and go, wow, man, I'd like to have that for the street. And sitting right next to it is the car that it is based on.
The real Supra.
The Toyota version of it.
And it looks similar. I mean, it's not just this aero wedge that they put on a funny car. This looks like a Supra, the whole front end.
Other than the fact that the funny car is about 20 feet long.
Well, it's just a little inflated.
The company didn't disclose details about the new engine or displacement, and a spokesman declined to provide further information. You know how they are at those factories. However, details of the individual investments delineate spending of a new engine block and new engine head design. Japanese automaker said it would spend $222 million to add another four-cylinder production line at an engine plant in Huntsville, Alabama. Toyota Alabama has the capacity to build 900,000 engines annually.
Wow.
And the added line will expand the 1.3 million square foot plant by 114,000 square feet.
That's huge.
And they're turning out 900,000 engines.
Well, one of the engines that they're turning out is, you know, that new Gazoo, the GR Toyota Corolla.
Gazoo Racing, yeah.
And that's like north of 300 horsepower in a Corolla. Oh my gosh.
At a four-cylinder?
Yeah. Huh. Hold on tight.
How fun.
That's going to be a beast. And I think they were telling us there's one of those here to look at, not to drive.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I missed
that. At the Toyota display.
Well, the Toyota display over there is something that you really should see while you're here. If you come out this weekend, be sure and stop by that. It's a very nice display. No high-pressure salesman.
No. Well, still time to come out because there's still going to be two rounds of qualifying today. The second round of qualifying, I believe, starts at 11.
If you'll wait just a moment, I'll be more than happy.
And then the third round of qualifying, I think, starts at 3.
I have the schedule.
So even if you live in Katy, there's still time to get here and make your ears bleed listening to a nitro car go down the track.
Well, that's where earplugs come in. So if you don't want to stop by and buy them, you can get them here.
Huh?
So, yeah. So today, the first qualifying session for Pro Stock starts at 1 o'clock, and then the second session is at 4:15.
Anywhere from town, you can come in and still catch the race.
And right after Pro Stock is, of course, Nitro qualifying. So two rounds of qualifying today and then final eliminations tomorrow, all day. Get here early, though, because that starts at 11 a.m.
Just take I-10 to Grand Parkway 99, make a southbound turn, just depends on which direction you're coming from. And exit Cove and make a westbound turn, and you can't miss the track.
Quick break now. We'll be right back. You're on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show on iHeartRadio.
Father's Day weekend, Saturday, June 18th, 2022. It's the next Tailpipes and Tacos cruise in, and you're invited. Tailpipes and Tacos Father's Day edition will be at the same Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 18th. It's the only place cruisers compete for trophies and other prizes. Enter your vehicle for best hot rod, best classic, and best modern classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods, and get Loopy Tortilla breakfast, tacos, and adult beverages. There's no entry fee, and cars will automatically compete for custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It all happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Kick off summer with Tailpipes and Tacos Father's Day edition, Saturday, June 18th. The In Real Time Car Talk Show will be there too. Celebrate Father's Day, the start of summer, and the return of Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, June 18th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Tony Stewart Racing joins the NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series, and his drivers, Leah Pruitt and Matt Hagen, will face off against NHRA stars, including the legendary John Force Racing Team. Don't miss this battle of horsepower and performance. It's the final NHRA Spring Nationals event at Houston Raceway Park. Don't miss it this weekend. This is your last chance for Nitro action in Baytown. Tickets at HoustonRaceway.com.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is now part of the iHeart family.
Now you'll have access to 24/7 Car Talk anytime you need a fix. Just download the iHeartRadio app and ask for In Wheel Time Car Talk, and there we are. Be sure to save us in your iHeart library for instant access. No matter where you are, you have the best car talk show right on your PC, laptop, or mobile device, and never have to worry about finding us again. Of course, you can always get access to our video and audio streams via InWheelTime.com and your favorite podcast channel, and all of this is free to you. From the iHeartRadio app, you'll not only hear our Saturday morning live show, but the best shows of the past, updated weekly. Never miss a minute of up-to-date new car reviews, pre-owned reviews, Conrad's Car Clinic, informative interviews, automotive news, and the most fun car talk show on the planet. Just download the iHeartRadio app, search for In Wheel Time Car Talk, save it to your library, and with a tap of the icon, you'll be in touch with your favorite car talk team. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.